This episode is sponsored by Tunbridge Accountants. Are you a creative entrepreneur looking for financial support? Do you need clarity around your numbers or help with decisions related to your business finances? Do you even know what all the numbers mean? Before I worked with Tunbridge Accountants, I definitely didn't. Wendy and Lawton are not just accountants, they're your partners in navigating the complexities of business finance. They make VAT, corporation tax, cash flow management, all of this really simple, guiding you through all the decisions you need to make, whether that's a company purchase, setting up a new business, whether to register as a business. Wendy and Lawton can give you really honest, practical advice on everything. And by letting them take care of your business finances, it then frees you up to focus on what you do best, creating and selling your products. So thank you again to Tunbridge Accountants for sponsoring this podcast. Welcome to the Bring Your Product Idea to Life podcast. This is the podcast for you if you're getting started selling products or if you'd like to create your own product to sell. I'm Vicky Weinberg, a product creation coach and Amazon expert. Every week, I share friendly, practical advice as well as inspirational stories from small businesses. Let's get started. Charlotte Watts is the owner of Made on the Street. Charlotte makes stylish, affordable, sustainable clothing for babies and children. I had a really great chat with Charlotte. We spoke about how she taught herself to sew and how to make clothes. Her business is still quite young. It's less than 2 years old. And she's done so much in that time, which she's going to talk to us about. One thing we spoke about that I particularly enjoyed was she was talking about how she has representatives of her brand. So customers that she works with to inform what designs and patterns she makes. They give her input and also how they help promote her business as well. I thought this was a really interesting model. I don't think I've heard of anyone else doing this. And I'm sure that, you know, this would be something that for lots of us is something perhaps to think about. So I really hope you're inspired by Charlotte and enjoy her conversation. So hi, Charlotte. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Can we please start with you giving an introduction to yourself, your business and what you sell?
Yeah, so I'm Charlotte, mummy of two on a normal day-to-day basis, but I started Made on the Street back in 2021, and Made on the Street is a handmade children's and babies clothing business.
Oh, thank you. And I'd love to know a bit more about the story about why you started Made on the Street, because I believe the business is fairly young still, is that right?
Yeah. So it'll be 2 years this September. So basically, during my maternity leave of my youngest, she'll be three in October, I fell in love with being around my kids. I'd been furloughed at the beginning of lockdown, and during my actual maternity leave while she was here, I needed something to do to keep me busy and occupied. And, you know, as you do, mums like to keep ourselves really busy. And I decided I'd get the sewing machine out and make some little outfits for her. And a few friends had seen what I'd made, and lo and behold, Made on the Street started.
And had you been making your own clothes before, Charlotte? So how did you even know how to do that?
I've made bits for my kids here and there. So my eldest is five. So I've made, you know, the odd bit here and there for him when he was a baby. But no, not really. I'd never made anything. So I'm really self-taught, and it's all trial and error. I just fell in love with sewing again, and I bought a pattern, bought another pattern, and next thing I've a big binder full of patterns, and I thought, I'm going to try this and see how it goes. And yeah, people liked what I made. So,
oh, that's amazing. So did you like go to classes or watch YouTube, or did you literally just sit home and figure it out? I'm just fascinated.
So during secondary school, when I was about, I don't know, 14, 15, we had lessons to make, you know, the little PE bags with the drawstrings or pillow cushions and what have you, but nothing to this extent. I thought, oh, I'll make something. I need to keep myself busy. And yeah, I just sat down and watched a couple of YouTube videos, just because I'm a visual learner. I can work it out better if I see it. And yeah, now I just give it a go. I buy some patterns, and if I like it and I think, oh, that'd sell really well, then yeah,
Well, that's brilliant. Thank you. Thank you for explaining that. And obviously you buy the patterns, but you also have to source fabric, I guess, as well.
Yeah.
And I've looked at your website, and I encourage everyone to look at your website. It will be linked up in the show notes. And your fabrics are so unique that something that really stood out to me when I looked is that I'm seeing like designs and things I don't see everywhere, because you know what I mean? Sometimes you can see similar fabrics popping up, but yours look really unique. Where do you find them?
I'm really lucky that after joining Instagram to promote my business, I've come across some really great pattern designers. So I buy the seamless patterns off some of these ladies, and then they're exclusive to me. So no one else will have said pattern or said colorway or whichever you like. So I've really enjoyed having that aspect that I can say, oh, you won't see this anywhere else. So yeah. And then, so I've bought patterns, and then I've done a lot of research into who's better at printing the fabric and the colors that come out better, and yeah, the quality and the feel. And so my kids have had a lot of clothes to try on as I've tested fabrics and who's the better producer of the fabrics. So but I like to keep everything UK made, so a lot of my fabrics are from UK businesses as well.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. So some of the fabric you are buying in mm-hmm. as fabric, but you're actually getting these designs printed as well.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. How's you even going about finding someone that can print on fabrics? I'm assuming you're printing rolls. You're not just printing like a square.
Some fabrics I print in 1 meter. So it's not a lot. You can get a couple of outfits from 1 meter, but they're what I like to do as my test pieces. But then majority I buy, I don't know, 5 meters plus 10 meters, 25 meters, if it's something that really sells. So I have a lovely big bookcase next to me that houses all my fabrics.
Oh, wow. And was it a case of, so first of all, you had to, I guess you say, find the designs. And mm-hmm. was that literally just Instagram you made all of those connections?
Yeah. So I think 5 or 6 ladies that I've bought quite a lot of designs off of them, which it's quite addictive. So I found them, I bought 1 or 2 patterns, had them printed. I loved how they printed out. And then I've kind of just, stuck to them ladies and bought some more as I go along.
Oh, that's really nice. And are they designing, are you working with them on the designs, or are they, or do they have designs that you're like, oh, I really like that?
So sometimes I'm working with them. So I had some Christmas designs off of 2 ladies that I worked with them. I said, this is what I'm aiming for. This is what I'd really like. And they really worked well and came out with these brilliant designs and sold out my Christmas fabrics, which was amazing. And then some of them they've already designed. And I just love them and I'll buy them. And then sometimes they ask for input and it's like, oh, this would be really nice. And they're really great that they're like, well, do you want this design? Like, you've put input in, you know, we'll let you have first dibs. So there's loads of designs on my computer.
Oh, that's really nice. And do you get input from customers as well? Do customers say to you, can you make this with a unicorn on or whatever
really,
it is?
Really great ladies that rep for me. So I do ask their input and, you know, they'll be like, oh, you should get, I don't know, a unicorn design, or you should get this mummy and turtle design that would be really nice for baby bundles, or, you know, they're really great ladies. I've made some really good friends along with making a business as well.
Oh, that sounds interesting. And we'll talk about that a little bit more if that's okay.
Yeah.
In a moment. So once you've got the fabrics, how did you go about getting them actually printed? Because it sounds like you've literally just, you know, done all of this from scratch. You've taught yourself. I think it's amazing, by the way, that you've sort of gone ahead and done all of this, because you're making it sound really easy, but I bet it's not as easy as it is.
It can be really stressful. And my partner will vouch for me that some nights I'm up until 2-3 o'clock in the morning and I'm like, I can't get this situation out of my head, and you know, I'll fester and fester on what's going wrong and I need to get it fixed, and if something's printed wrong or looking for someone else to print these designs that I want such a colour to be so vibrant that I look for this particular fabric printer. And yeah, it just, some nights it can really fester in my head that I need to get this fixed.
I think that's having your own business, isn't it? There's always something to think about. So are all of your fabric printers in the UK then?
Majority of what I use. There is one lady that does European fabric printing. So I try to use her a little bit less just because I like the fact of saying that everything is UK made, printed. It's all come from the UK.
That makes sense. And how did you go about finding printers? Because I know that you can probably go onto Google and search and get loads of results, but how did you actually go about finding someone that you want to work with that's kind of printing them as you want?
So like you say, Google to start with, and then it was just a case of trial and error and seeing how an example of a design printed out, how the stretch, the fabric, if it lasted well with the wash, the tumble drying. You know, as a mother, I like quick and easy. So I want clothes that I can wash, tumble dry, and that's it. I don't want to be faffing that you only have to do hand wash and hand dry and leave flat to dry. So I wanted something that would withstand mum life.
That makes sense. You must be learning loads about fabrics as well.
Oh, definitely.
Though.
Definitely. It's all a learning curve for me as well.
And are you using all the, I know I'm asking so many questions, but we've got to get all of this out of you. So are you using like one particular type of fabric? And you don't need to tell me what fabric you use, but.
At the moment I'm sticking to just jersey fabric. So, which is 95% cotton, 5% elastane. So it's got the good stretch and the recovery for the children that are on the move, crawling, rolling, running. So I like to use that it's a nice stretch, but I am venturing into just some cotton, just 100% cotton dresses, just some nice girly designs that I'm testing the waters with at the moment.
Well, that sounds lovely, especially as we're coming into summer.
Yeah.
That's really nice. And is it, I mean, I've got so many questions, but I am fascinated by anyone who makes anything, Charlotte. I guess, does that affect how you actually put them together? As in, you know, physically like cutting and sewing fabric. The different fabrics must make such a big difference. I'm just thinking, what a massive learning curve this all must be.
Yeah, so the cotton's actually easier to cut out because there's no stretch, there's no recovery for it. Whereas the stretch fabric that I tend to use a lot, there is stretch with it. So you have to learn to position it just right, no stretch, so it's not a false cutout. But again, trial and error, I learned that the hard way of making my kids some bits that I was like, why isn't this big enough? It was big enough in the pattern. And yeah, so I learned that the hard way. Whereas the cotton's nicer to cut out because there's not really any stretch to it, but it is harder to sew, I find, because it's such a stiff fabric.
I know what you mean. Cotton's quite, I guess it's quite unforgiving, isn't it? Like the lines, you know. I'm just thinking that you can sort of tell when cotton's poorly stitched, can't you?
It's
fairly obvious. Oh, wow. It sounds like you've so much sort of trial and error over the years.
Oh,
it sounds like, Charlotte, to get to where you've got to. So let's talk a bit actually about the past few years. So you mentioned that you've coming up for 2 years in the autumn.
Yeah.
So what's changed in those 2 years? How have, you know, you mentioned you started making the clothes for your kids and for friends' children. And so talk us through sort of what's changed now, where you are up to.
Okay. So originally when I started sewing, everyone likes to call me the Harry Potter sewer because I did start sewing in the cupboard under my stairs in my house. So I literally had a little bench. It would have my two machines on and I'd get on my wheelie chair and I'd slide in. That was it. I had probably one a little piece of meter of fabric and that was it. I'd, you know, make one outfit, see if that would sell, and then I'd get some more fabric in. Now I'm really lucky. I had a great opportunity just after turning 1 year old, I think it was. I had a really great opportunity that allowed me to build the shed that I'm in now where I make all of my makes. So this is actually on the outside of my house that was built especially for this. So all my sewing machines are behind me. I've got a projector above me to cut up all my fabric. So my patterns are projected down. I have so much fabric in here, it's hard to move some days. I've just recently, actually today, just put some of my makes into a local shop. And then we have a little gallery down the road in my village that I've got some makes in there as well. So it's just nice to, I'm branching out into physical items as opposed to just selling them on my website. So my aim is I'd like to get into one or two more shops for now, just to kind of test the waters if they're wanted to be seen in the physical form. As a mum, you always want to give the fabric that little feel, don't you, to know if it's decent or not.
Definitely. I think you're right, especially with clothes. It's like something that's really nice to be able to buy in person. Yeah. So that sounds great. And by the way, your space looks amazing. I know no one else can see it, but it looks really light.
Thank you.
Looking at all your windows. It was lovely. And so you mentioned that before you were just, you know, you were getting an order and making it. Is that, has having stopped in shops like kind of changed how you make? Because I guess before you were making on demand, are you having to make larger quantities now?
I still make on demand. A lot of my sales are still on demand, which is brilliant. You know, I love the fact that seeing what everyone wants, different fabric options coming through, different styles. But I have started making on a larger demand just so that I have the stock there and the ready-made side of things, and so that I can ring up said shops and be like, have you sold anything this week? Oh, okay, I'll bring some stock in. So it's ready, it's there to go, that I'm not having to keep them waiting as well.
That makes sense. I think it makes a lot of sense when you can make on demand, because like you said, there's no waste either, is there? Which is brilliant. And you mentioned earlier the ladies that you were working with that give you feedback and input. Do you mind talking a little bit about that?
Yeah, so originally when I first started, I thought, oh, no one's going to want to rep or, you know, be involved sort of thing. So I was really lucky when people started asking if I was doing anything along the rep lines, and, you know, if I was, you know, willing to do anything like that. So I kind of, you know, took a leap of faith, and it didn't work out brilliantly the first time. So it's all trial and error. But I've recently started again at Rep Ventures. And, you know, there's a little group of them that have bought from me from the beginning. So they know what sort of fabrics I like, what sort of designs I like. So they're always like, oh, have you seen this design? And have you thought about doing this sort of outfit for the summer? And, you know, I always take their opinions on board, and it's great that they're all there to help. And some of them have their own little businesses as well. So it's nice that sometimes it's like, oh, do you fancy doing a little collab that we can do this outfit with that sort of bow or headband that you do? And it's really nice that, you know, it's nice that I've made friends as well as like customers as well.
Yeah, that is really nice. And for anyone who doesn't know how it works, so how does reps work? I mean, we can talk about just how it works for your business, but say how...
So for my business... I obviously advertise that I'm looking for someone to rep for me, so represent me, that they've bought from me in the past or want to buy from me in the future. I offer them a discount for them to promote me, if you like. And then I give them a code for them to offer to their friends, followers, family, whoever you like, so that they get a little bit of discount as well. So they're getting a little bit off of my makes for their time of posting on Instagram or Facebook.
Oh, that's so interesting. So I don't know anyone who's done this sort of model before, so I'm really quite fascinated. You mentioned when you first started it, it didn't go well. Would you mind telling us, and obviously only as much as you want to, what wasn't working out? Just because I'm thinking that people might be able to learn from it.
Yeah, I think it all depends on the people that you ask to do it for you. You need to kind of look at what their Instagram, their social media, you know, if they're active, if they're not active. You know, some people can be really active and they're great, but some people are really active and they're not active for you. So it's just trial and error. And at the first time I tried it, I had some people, and they were lovely ladies, they were, but they just weren't interested in working with me. They were kind of, they just wanted the discount code for themselves. They never really promoted that bit more, which, you know, is fine. It's all trial and error, isn't it? So
that makes sense. Yeah. And you're right. And it's good that you learned that. And do people sign up for a set amount of time, or is it just...
Yeah. So I tend to do like a 3-4 month period. So the ladies that are involved at the moment, they've done just after Christmas, and they'll do up until, I think it's end of April, if I remember correctly. So they've kind of had a bit of Christmassy, a bit of wintery, Easter stuff as well, and then obviously I'll look for new ladies first end of spring, summer, to bring in some new designs and what have you.
Oh, that's exciting. So as well as using them for input, you're also using them to, well, so using them, they're also promoting your products and showing pictures of their children wearing your clothes and things like that on social media. That's really nice. And I guess that also gives you some content you can use as well.
Yeah, it's lovely, because obviously on my Instagram, there's lots of flat lay pictures of my makes and items and what have you, but it's always nice to get the active shots and of the kids playing in the items and, you know, just enjoying the clothes. You know, I don't want them to be pristine pictures. I love seeing the kids using them and being dirty in them and, you know, having fun. Like, clothes are meant to be fun.
And as you say, because you've really carefully chosen your fabrics, you know, they're fabrics that you can just throw in the washing machine. It's nice to have clothes that they can just wear and enjoy every day rather than, because you're right, I have a son and a daughter, and my daughter definitely has the odd bit of clothing that she doesn't wear that often, because I know that if it has to go in the, well, it doesn't even go in the washing machine. I know it's a faff because I'll have to hand wash it. And I'm like, you can't wear that to the park, because I don't really want to be scrubbing it tonight. But it's great that your clothes are so wearable.
Yeah, so my daughter, she's a nightmare for not keeping clean. So she's my prime example of that. A lot of my clothes, you know, go into the washing machine with God knows how many stains over them, or, you know, food or whatever she does. And they come out and they look fine.
Well, that's brilliant. And I think that's really like an endorsement, isn't it, as well, for the fabric that you're using, that it just washes up really well. Because like you said, I think that's one of the most important things for parents. But it's nice that you're getting feedback from other parents as well.
Yeah.
To kind of reinforce that. How do you go about finding ladies to work with you?
So some of the ladies I work with, they're local, and they're, you know, their kids go to the same school that my son goes to, and they bought from me previously. So it's just trial and error that, oh, do you fancy, you know, you buy a lot off me recently, so do you fancy being a little rep, and there'll be a little bit of a discount in it for you. And 9 times out of 10 it works out brilliantly, because they're like, oh yeah, like, I like your stuff. So it helps. Otherwise, I put posts up on Instagram and Facebook, kind of searching for people, asking people to share them, you know, if friends might be interested and stuff like that. And it usually works really well that people come in and, you know, apply with their children. You know, they tell me a little bit about themselves, their children, what sort of photos they take, kind of share a couple of photos with me to so I can see. And, you know, most of them, well, nearly all of them that I've had apply are brilliant, and I wish I could work with all of them, because they do look amazing, and the kids are so cute. Like, it really does make me broody seeing all the babies and the, you know, the toddlers, and as you do. But unfortunately, small business, I can't afford to work with hundreds and hundreds at the moment, but you never know, watch this space.
Oh, that's really exciting. And also, something you made a point of there that I didn't think about is, I guess as your children get older, I guess it's going to be even more valuable to have other young families working with you, because your children presumably will get to a point where maybe you're not making clothes for that age, but you'll still need the pictures and people to test them out and stuff. So that's really smart. And I hope you don't mind asking you so many questions about this, Charlotte. It's just, I just think it's such so clever. And when I saw the reference on your website, I thought that's so smart, because I think a lot of businesses, if they wanted to, could do something smaller. And then you have another small group of people, as well as giving you input, but also helping to promote your products, because that's what people need, isn't it? Especially with clothes. You want to see people wearing them.
Yeah. Oh, no, as small businesses, we've got to stick together. It's so, especially with everything that's going on in the world at the moment, it's so hard. So it's so nice that, you know, if my small business can help that small business and another small business just by sharing pictures that have got my items, their items, and that we can all help each other out. It's nice to be able to stick together at the moment.
Definitely. And that's why I also really appreciate you being here as well, because I think just what you've shared is going to really help other businesses who listen to this podcast as well, because I'm convinced at least one person will hear this and go, oh, I could try that. I just think that's the whole reason I do this. I just think it's amazing that people can get ideas and input from each other. And and I really appreciate that you sharing so much, because I know I've bombarded you with questions. Thank you so much. I've got one final piece of advice. I don't have any advice, Charlotte. I have a question, which is, what would your number one piece of advice be for other product creators? What's the one thing you'd like to leave us with?
I think, don't give up at the first hurdle. You've got to keep trying. I think if I'd given up when I first started, and, you know, certain items weren't working out, certain items didn't sell, and I was left with so much stock fabric, and I, you know, if I just left it there, it just wouldn't have been worth my time to start it up. So just don't give up. Keep going. Like, that moment that you get over the hill is coming, and it will arrive.
Thank you so much. I really like that. Thank you. And I think, yeah, you've embodied that really well. When you, you know, all that you've shared, you can definitely set sail. You know, you've mentioned trial and error a few times. I think you're a really good example of just trying things and changing things. And you're right. You have to be adaptable, because I think there's hardly anything where your first idea is the best, or the way you do things originally is. Yeah. So it's really good. I think it's really useful for people to hear that. So thank you so much, Charlotte.
Oh, no, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening right to the end of this episode. Do remember that you can get the full back catalogue and lots of free resources on my website, vickyweinberg.com. Please do remember to rate and review this episode if you've enjoyed it, and also share it with a friend who you think might find it useful. Thank you again, and see you next week. Hi, this is just a little note. So if you've enjoyed this episode, or indeed any of the episodes, and you would like to, I don't know, buy me a coffee or something, you can actually now leave tips. So there's a link to how to do this in the show note. Of course, do not feel obliged to do this. This is a free podcast. This will always be a free podcast. But as I say, if you want to buy me a coffee, you can do that via the link in the show notes.